favorite place for sure to be back with you. We listen online a bunch. Pastor Arby did a great job last week talking about digging those wells, digging a little deeper, and hopefully this message will go along with that a little bit. But don't you love this time of year? Graduations and holidays and green grass everywhere, and things are blooming and all pretty, and it's just a great time of year. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Today I want to talk about a message entitled Values That Elevate. So if you dig a little deeper and you do it right, you can go a little higher, right? If you dig a little better foundation, you can build a little higher. And so I hope that when we're done today, God challenges you a little bit with your values. You can honor and celebrate those that have gone before and done some amazing things because of their commitment and their giving and their values. And I really believe that generosity is connected to that as well. So we're going to talk about values that elevate, specifically two things: serving and generosity. Of course, Memorial Day weekend, we're honoring those that gave it all, those that gave their life in service to their country. And in America here today, we get to see flags displayed in the cemeteries. We drove through Orfino a little bit ago, and man, the flags are just beautiful there. And we were up in Pierce yesterday decorating some graves of family members, and big old flags up there. I think Kamiai, I haven't driven by, but maybe some of you drove by the Kamiai Cemetery today, and the flags are up there. And it's not that the American flag is anything super special beyond Jesus or beyond anything like that. It's that we happen to be in this country, and our founding was pretty special on the Lord and freedom of religion. And there's been a lot of people give their life for that freedom that we get to experience today. So Memorial Day weekend's a great time to talk about serving and generosity. Men and women have acted on superior core values, and they've elevated our country and the people of our world generation after generation. We might want to focus a little bit today on what is a superior core value. We have our core values. We have things we believe in. We have things that we hold dear to. We have things that we're pretty passionate about. Has God ever challenged you, like he has me, to have a superior value than the one I currently hold? And he's challenged me many times. Kelly, could you up your game a little bit here? Thank you for that, but there's something even superior to that. There's something even more important to that in this situation and things that are going on. But men and women have acted on superior core values, and they've elevated others. And I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be a person that elevates other people, that elevates our nation, our generation. I want to be that kind of a person that elevates this Clearwater region. I want to be that kind of a person that elevates my family generationally, so the next generation can be a little higher and the next generation can be a little better. I want to be that kind of a person. All gave some and some gave all. We've heard that connected to this day, right? The people that have served in our armed services, armed forces, all gave some. They all gave some, but some gave all. And when you think about that in Christianity, it happens that way a little bit too. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, all give some, but there are some that gave all. And there are some that are called to give all. And today there are some of us that are just giving it all for Jesus. Everything that he wants, everything of our life, we're willing to give it all. That's a superior core value. God, you can have my entire life. You can have all my resources. You can have all of my time. You can have all of my energy for whatever you want. God, you can have it all. Really, every Christian should be getting to that commitment level, Because when you give God everything, it doesn't diminish you at all. It doesn't diminish your life at all. In fact, it'll elevate your life. It'll elevate you and the people around you. Some made that ultimate sacrifice. They gave their most generous service possible to mankind. I love at a funeral of a veteran when that honor guard does their part of the service. The words that they say have always been inspiring to me, and sometimes more Christian than things that I hear they're supposed to be Christian. And to think that our government agency, the Honor Guard, is giving God that beautiful recognition and their brother or sister that beautiful recognition. It's really inspiring to me to hear those words. And some of those words are, they gave the ultimate sacrifice, the most generous service possible. They gave their life for the cause. They gave their life, their blood, their full commitment, their selfless acts are memorialized. And if you read the Bible, you know that there's a lot of memorials in the Bible, isn't there? There's a lot of times God says, hey, this is a memorial. Do not forget this. All of the feasts of the Jews are memorials, right? And there, when they cross the Red Sea, we have memorial stones, you know. When they cross the Jordan River, there's memorials there. Lot's wife is a memorial, not a great one, but there's all sorts of times in the Bible where God says, do not forget this. This is big. This is important. This is generational. Don't forget this. And I hope that you're living a life that's big, and you're thinking about generational things. You're thinking about that. We've said it around here before a lot of times that, hey, David had his turn, right? Paul had his turn. Peter had his turn. Guess whose turn it is now? It's your turn. And how are you doing with your turn? Is it something that people will memorialize? Is it something that's making this elevated difference in people's lives? That's challenging to me. There are times that God just wants me to take an inventory of my life, of my choices, and says, Kelly, how are you really doing right now? Not how did you do yesterday, and how do you intend to do tomorrow? How are you doing right now? Well, God, I have reasons. I have excuses for what I am or am not doing right now. But he likes to challenge me. Is this something that people will memorialize? Or will they sensationalize it? Will it be a tabloid, you know, something? How are you doing right now? Well, those that we remember on Memorial Day, they gave their most generous service, their full commitment. We honor those that serve. I think about the kingdom of God and his heroes. Most serve for a cause, and some serve for a call. And I want us to think about the cause and the call a little bit today. When your country calls, you go. You either go to Canada or, no, you go where your country calls you, right? You go. When God calls, we're supposed to go. We're supposed to say, yes, sir. Salute the cross. Yes, sir. Whatever you want, sir. We're supposed to go when he calls. When the cause is worthy, you go. So sometimes it's the call. Sometimes it's the cause. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's both. There are always those who question and demean the cause. There's always the protesters. There's always the anti-whatever, isn't there? There's the anti-church. There's the anti-God. There's the anti-war. There's protesters against the servicemen and women. There's always people that are anti. And you don't necessarily want to be in that crowd or in that group. There's always people that demean the cause and demean the call. They'll waggle their finger and waggle their tongue, but that doesn't make it any more important or less important. It doesn't make it any less valuable just because they're negative and talking negative about it. Sometimes we step up because of the cause. Sometimes we step up because of the call. And sometimes it's because of both. As a pastor, I was a Christian because of the cause. I was a Christian because Jesus saved me. I was a Christian because of his holiness and love that we just got done singing about. But then there's a time that he tapped me on the shoulder and he says, how about the call? I'm going to call you to serve at an even different level, at an even different commitment, to give up even more, to do even more, to serve even greater, to be even more generous with your life because of the calling, not just because of the cause. And so don't allow people that are negative or demeaning to just wag their finger or their tongue at you and discourage you from the cause or the call. Don't allow that to happen. Don't let them win at all. The values of serving and being generous are not detoured by the rhetoric of those that waggle their fingers and their tongues. Don't be detoured by that. Is there any rhetoric out there today? There's some rhetoric out there. Just anti-commitment, anti-God, anti-Christian values. There's just a lot of negative rhetoric out there. And you can believe it and you can act on it. But on a day like today, we're going, no, there is a cause. Remember when King David was about ready to face Goliath and they were kind of like, you little runt, what are you doing? His older brother was like, you're just kind of a mischievous little runt. What are you doing? And David said, hey, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? Shouldn't somebody take out this giant? Shouldn't somebody stand up for God? Shouldn't somebody have faith and believe that God can do big things with anybody that just says yes? With anybody that just is willing to make that commitment to take a step forward, God can do big things. He doesn't need a big person. He just needs you and I to step forward, you and I to volunteer, you and I to answer the call, you and I to answer the cause. Serving is huge. God just needs somebody that's willing to serve, and he can do big things. He can do big things in your family if you're willing to serve. He can do big things in your company if you're willing to serve. He can do big things in your church and in your community, in your generation, if you're willing to serve. God can do big things. Amen. Serving is honorable. Being generous is honorable. And these values will elevate and propel us to higher heights. And we need to be connected to things that are honorable today. There's a lot of things that are not honorable calling out for your attention, calling out for your commitment, calling out for you to either allow them to be or to commit to make them even bigger in our generation. There's a lot of dishonorable things out there. And to me, a lot of times, the things that are dishonorable appeal to my laziness sometimes, don't they? They appeal to my not wanting to rock a boat, you know, just kind of go along with that thing that's dishonorable, just kind of go along with it. But God would say, no, don't do that. Serving and being generous regarding things that are honorable, this is what elevates the world, elevates the church, elevates generation, takes us to higher heights. Being a scorner is not honorable. Being someone that only talks but doesn't do, that's not honorable. It's not. Being someone who is lazy and self-serving and fearful and critical, those things are not honorable. Those things don't elevate. They drag down. Have you ever walked away from those conversations and those situations just feeling diminished, exhausted, worn out because of that negativity? God's saying, I want you to be people that elevate others. I want you to be people that are more willing to serve, more willing to see the positivity in serving, more willing to be generous with your words, with your attitudes. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Generosity has a lot more to do with just your money. A lot more than just your money. We'll talk about generosity here in just a minute. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. Jesus is talking about, hey, in the world, people are stepping all over each other trying to get to the top. He says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you who desires to be first shall be the slave of all. It's great to have ambition. It's great to want to improve yourself, your situation, life around you. But the way up is many times through just serving better and even being more generous. That's the way up. The way up is not to push others down and step over others, and that's not the way up. Jesus says that's not how it's going to work in my kingdom with my people. That's not how it works at all. In Luke chapter 10, verse 37, is concluding the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And if you've read the story, this one guy is wanting to excuse his behavior. And he asked this question. God said, you should go love your neighbor. He goes, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story. There's this guy that was on the road, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him up, and they stole everything that he had, and they left him for dead on the edge of the road. And this really important person, you can talk about the Jews, the priests. Jesus kind of goes through a list of people that they would have thought were important people that elevate others, that have a calling, that understand serving. But all of those people passed by on the other side. All of those people said, I can't bother myself with this guy's situation. I got places to go and things to do. I got a schedule to keep. I'm sorry, I can't stop and serve. He probably deserved it anyway, you know, and just all sorts of people passing by, refusing to serve. But the Samaritan, which in the story is kind of the person that you wouldn't think would serve. You wouldn't think this guy would be generous. In fact, he's looked down upon. He's somebody that there's no expectation of him being amazing, serving, generous. There's no expectation of that. But in Jesus' story, the people that were expected to didn't. The person who wasn't expected to did. And the Good Samaritan stopped, got down off his donkey, went to the person, bound up his wounds, put him up on his donkey, transported him to a place where he could be taken care of, and then handed a few $100 bills to the innkeeper and said, if this isn't enough, when I come back, I'll give you more money. Just make sure you take care of this person. Now that is service and generosity all wrapped up into one. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Who's my neighbor? How am I supposed to act? Jesus, what do you mean by loving others? What does it mean to be a Christian? This is what it means. This is what it means. You serve and you're generous. Now go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Does that challenge you? It challenges me. It challenges my my whole idea of calling and cause and response. Am I responsible to do that? It's not my responsibility. I pay taxes so other people can do that, you know? Is that my responsibility? Jesus says, I want you to love each other. Well, God, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you the story of the Good Samaritan. It means get off your horse, get down in the ditch, heal the guy, help the guy, take him to a place where he can be taken care of, and foot the bill. Wow. Jesus, that's a little harsh. That's a little much. That's a little... Is that the values that elevate? It really is. And it should challenge you. It challenges me. Maybe tomorrow we're going to have an opportunity to see the person along the side of the road. And God might tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, stop your schedule and go take care of this person. Spend your time, spend your compassion, spend your money, and take care of this person. Amen. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. This is Jesus about ready to go to the cross on the night before, and he's washing his disciples' feet. Does it take all that, Jesus? Let's read the verses. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again, and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to do, isn't it? You guys are quiet. I know this is a little challenging. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. And I think God would call you and I to be people who live a life of greater service and of greater generosity that's memorialized, that's celebrated, that is honored. And some of us are going, I'm already tapped out. I'm already maxed out. I'm super busy serving, and I'm super generous in that. Well, you're in a very good position. Be encouraged today. God's not saying, hey, you're plumb wore out doing all this, do more. If you're one of those people, he's saying, today we celebrate you. Today we honor you. Today your generosity and your service is memorialized and celebrated. Thank you. And probably all of us have portions of our life that are so honorable and worthy of celebration. But if you're like me, God may be reminding you of another area that you could serve that you didn't think was your calling or the cause was important enough. But this morning, God might be saying, hey, how about you take all that wonderful stuff that you're doing here and just expand it right there for me? Would you do that today? Would you do that today? Amen. Galatians 5:13, God says that we get some liberty and we get some freedom, but there's a higher purpose for our liberty and our freedom than just to have it for ourselves. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know, even as Americans, we have so many amazing freedoms and opportunity, and it's not just so we can have a better time in North Idaho. You know, it's not just so we can get the government off our back. It's not just so we can have a little more of the life we want and desire. God says, the freedom that I give you, it's not just to be spent on yourself. But through love, you should serve other people with this freedom. Through love, you should serve other people with this generosity that you've been given. Through love, you should serve other people with these resources that have come into your life because of the opportunity of living in this nation, the opportunity of people that have gone before you have helped you gain some options and some wealth or some resources. And God would say to you and I, how about you spread that around a little bit and be a bigger blessing to people around you? Well, they can get their own. They can, but you didn't get your own by yourself on your own with your own bootstraps. If you think you did, you were mistaken. You got your own because people were honoring tomorrow, gave their life and their blood so you could sit in this building or watch online today and hear about Jesus and hear about freedom and hear about generosity and hear about service. All gave some, but some gave all. And we owe them a great debt for what we have today. Our founding fathers and all of those that have died in our wars for freedom, we owe them a great debt. All the Christians that have gone before us and paid ultimate sacrifices for what you and I enjoy today. And it's our turn now to enjoy the freedoms and enjoy the resources, but also to use those through our love to serve others as well. And that service and generosity will elevate people around us. Let's talk about generosity here. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich. The world would say the exact opposite of that. Mr. Scrooge is rich, right? The stingy are rich. The penny pincher is rich. But God's word says the exact opposite. Those that are generous become rich. Why? Because the blessings of God increase around your generosity. Have you ever heard you can't outgive the Lord? You can't be more generous than God. You can give and give, and He'll just give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Amen. Reaping and sowing is a beautiful thing when you're doing it right. It's a bummer if you're not doing it right. But if you're doing it right, it's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Proverbs 22, verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. Do you see through the eye of generosity, or do you see through a different eye? Isaiah 32, verse 8, a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Your creativity, is it towards generosity and generous things? Or do you get all you can and can all you get, you know? How's your eye? How's your heart? When we're generous with our time, our talents, and our treasures, when we're generous with our words and our attitudes and our actions, and I really feel like God wanted to say something to us regarding that today. God wants you and I to be more generous with our words. Your words have a lot of potential to be memorialized. And etched in granite of the memories of your family members, your neighbors, and your friends are your words and attitudes and actions. I experienced some road rage the other day. Not from me to others, but from somebody else towards me. Have you ever experienced road rage? Have you ever had someone honk, cuss, threaten, swerve towards you, say they're going to beat you up? I had all that happen the other day. And the guy's girlfriend was sitting beside him, this young guy. And I'm going, wow. That event has just been memorialized in his girlfriend's heart. And I thought, if I was her, I would run. Run. Because it's guys like that that will beat you and abuse you. And it's guys like that that will murder you and hide your body. Your words and your attitudes and your actions are being etched in granite in somebody's mind and in somebody's heart. And you are being remembered and identified by those words and those attitudes and those actions. You want to talk about conviction when the Holy Spirit says, hey, Kelly, that attitude is horrible. You need to stop, repent, and change that now. Now. I don't know about you, but he doesn't let me get away with that stuff. He calls me on it pretty early and pretty quick, and thank God that he does, because I don't want those words and those attitudes memorialized and etched in granite in my children's life or my grandchildren's or my wife. I don't want them. I want an attitude of serving and generosity. The cool thing about God is he can get his chisel and hammer out and remove those words that have been etched in granite from your past and write new words on your life. New memorials of who you are now, of a change that you have made, of a generous heart that you have developed. And God wants to do that with us and for us. So when we're generous, people are elevated. The person that's receiving the word, the attitude, and the action, they're elevated. The people that are watching and listening are elevated. Right? God is elevated. Have you ever blown your witness? It's like, oh, you're a Christian, huh? And that word just came out of you? That attitude just came out of you? You want to kill what? Who? But when I'm generous and serving, then God's elevated. His testimony's elevated in other people's eyes. And the people that are connected to those that are receiving it. Do you know that people tell stories? If something happens, do you know that they want to go tell the story of, hey, I just told you a story of somebody that was road raging against me. I don't know his name, but I just told you that story. Do you know that people are telling stories about you? Are you happy about that? Or not? I hope you're really happy about that. I hope that you're going, yeah, my grandkids are telling good old stories about me. My neighbors are telling good stories about me. That lady that I stopped and helped, she's telling a good story about me. That guy that pulled out in front of me, I just backed off and blessed him in the name of Jesus instead of road raged against him, right? He's telling a good story about me. Or is he telling a bad story about me? So God is elevated. We are elevated when we are serving and when we are generous. Giving doesn't create a lack, it creates an abundance. And I hope you know that with your service and with your generosity. You will not have less because you give your time. You will not have less because you give your resources and your money. God says, when you give, I will give right back to you. I'll multiply it back to you. I will bless you. So never think that your resources of time, your talents, or your money is finite and limited, because it isn't. God is able to multiply. So how can God multiply 24 hours? Well, that thing that was going to take me 12 hours because of God's blessing just took me 4 hours. Now I got 8 extra hours because God blessed me. That thing that was going to go wrong, that was going to take 6 days to fix, didn't go wrong. I've got 6 more days now. God can multiply your time so many different ways. Trust him to do that and let him do that. He can multiply your money. He can multiply your energy. He can multiply your resources. God is he's great at math. He loves multiplication. He really does. Amen? So all gave some and some gave all. There's a graphic we'll put up there. Yeah, there it is. And that's kind of one of my great phrases for a day like today. All gave some, and some gave all. And if you're one of the people that gave some, thank you. You served, you gave some. Today's not really your day, though. Veterans Day is in the fall, right? Today's the day, this weekend's the day when we remember those that gave it all. The flag-draped coffins that came home. The services at the cemeteries and the tears. Today's the day we remember those that gave it all. I have one last thing to talk about today. Today is not only Memorial Day weekend, that Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, but today's also Pentecost Sunday. And it really connects good with this generosity theme or this serving theme. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent to our world in a very real and powerful way. If you've ever read Acts 1 and 2 and then the rest of the book of Acts, you know, you have an idea about what happened. There was a generous outpouring. What I love about the day of Pentecost is like, there was an outpouring. Does that sound like generosity to you? Yeah. It's like, oh, we just got a little dab of God's Spirit, you know? No, there was an outpouring of his Spirit, and that's still happening today. And so the Holy Spirit was sent in a very real and powerful way that fulfilled prophecies and promises. Let's look at the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That sounds pretty generous, doesn't it? On everybody. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in heaven and earth, and blood and fire, and pillars of smoke, and the sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I just love everybody's included. Whoever wants to be saved can be saved. That is service and generosity. John chapter 16, Jesus says something important to us there. Verses 5 through 15. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified and he's leaving the planet, but he says these words, "Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." That word helper is a capital H. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." I love this. John was talking to us in Sunday school about this progressive revelation, this continual growth that we should have as a Christian. And Jesus is telling the apostles here, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And I think God would say that to you and I over and over. "Kelly, I really have something I want you to know, but you're not ready for it yet. But I'm going to tell you later. I'm going to show you later. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." This is such a generous and serving heart of God. Jesus is saying, "I'm going, and when I go, I'm sending back Holy Spirit. And he's going to be big in your life. He's going to be big in your world. He's going to be big in my plan for you." Verse 14 says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you," or give it to you. You see that generosity there? Everything that Jesus had, everything the Father has, everything has been given to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is some amazing generosity. And so I wanted us to think about that today. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our helper, our paraclete. Paraclete is someone that comes alongside you, someone that helps you, comes alongside you. Our teacher, and he would be one that would empower us, not with just a little dab of God's Spirit or a little dab of his power, but with a generous, total infilling, total baptism, total immersion of our life in the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've not experienced the generosity of God in the total infilling and immersion of your life in the Holy Spirit and all that that can mean. And I encourage you to continue seeking that and let the Lord fill you and bless you and enlighten you over and over and over again. So because of Holy Spirit in our life, you and I have power to be victorious warriors. You and I have power now, and we have power to be victorious in all other areas of our life, not only for ourselves, but for the people that are around us, for the generations that follow us. So receive that fullness today. Serve others. Serve God with everything you have. Be generous with everything that you have. Your time, your talents, your treasures, your words. Again, let's just think for a minute. Are you generous with your words? Are you generous with your words? Oh yeah, I say lots of words. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you have this generous heart that's elevating people with your words and your attitudes and your actions? These are the kind of values that will elevate. And again, on Memorial Day, we are thinking about people that had superior values and superior commitment and superior generosity that gave it all so that you and I could have what we have and be who we are today. Amen. Let's pray together for a minute. Lord, your words challenging to us. But God, thank you for leading the way, that you indeed were someone that came and you served us, our need for salvation, our need for healing, our need for a renewed mind, a different way of thinking, a different way of being. God, you served us. Jesus, you died on a cross for us. You resurrected. Now you're interceding for us. You sent the Holy Spirit down into our world in a new, powerful way, and we're still living in that season, in that time. Jesus, thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us be the kind of people that are memorialized for amazing things, great things, that we could have values that elevate others and that elevate your testimony in our world. Lord, help us build on this. Help us be this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Arby. Yeah.